Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
welcome. This is Blog Talk Radio. It is December the 11th, 2021. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Once again, I want to welcome each and every one of you to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and I just want to extend a thank you for all of you that listens to this blog. And certainly we want to give a shout out to our co-host, none other than Evangelist Terry Rogers, who will close us out for the year on next Saturday. So tune in. We've got a good lineup, a special lineup to kick this year off, or end this year, off or ended, whatever you want to call it. But certainly we have got an exciting lesson. And just by way of announcement, certainly we've got a spirit-filled lesson for you today. I want you to tune in. I believe you're going to hear some good stuff. And I believe it's going to bless your soul. So just by way of announcements, we are ministering. Amazing Grace Ministries, we are on the move. We are hurting, not hurting, but we are ministering to the hurt and the wounded every fourth Sunday at 2:30, we have been given this opportunity at Christ Deliverance Church to talk about mental health, to talk about the issues we face, the issue of suicide, to talk about what it means to be in good health and prosper even as thy soul prospers. We are talking about those issues. We are talking about when we feel like throwing in the towel, and certainly there are going to be days when we feel like throwing in the towel. And we ask ourselves, where is the Lord above? I need you, God. Are you yet listening to me? So every fourth Sunday at 2:30 at Christ Deliverance Center, we are going forth. And that address is 8226 South Muskegon. So join us. Also, we are praying at noon. It is praying time, y'all. We are praying. Amazing Grace Ministries, we are praying every Friday at noonday prayer for at least 30 minutes. We're lifting up the name of the Lord, and we're crying out. And that number is 1-605-468-8807. And the access code is 351-4828. Tune in and let's pray together. For more information about any of the things that I have talked about on this blog, you can hit me directly either by texting me or calling me at area code 309-750-7584, or you can email me at amazing, A-M-A-Z-E, in Grace Ministries at gmail.com. Now that's amazing, not ing but en, amazen, Grace Ministries at gmail.com. And I want to give one more announcement, and we're going to get into our lessons. Two more things, actually. I want to say that this blog will be canceled on December the 25th in observance of Christmas, or the day that we observe to be Christmas, and the fact we're celebrating the fact that Christ came, died, and we are patiently awaiting his return. So Blog Talk will be canceled on December the 25th, and that's why our co-host will be closing us out on the 18th of December. And that's it, y'all. Next year, look for us next year. The next year is around the corner, because you know once December the 25th get here, that means the next week is a new year. Praise God, and we'll let you know what we're going to do on next week, whether or not we will have a blog to celebrate the new year. And so we will give those announcements to you, and certainly our co-host will do that. So I want to say this. I want to thank each and every person that has donated to this ministry. Your funding has gone back into this ministry to support this ministry, to help those that are suffering, to help those that need to hear a word. Certainly we have been teaching and training and strengthening those individuals with a word that will heal their situation. So to everyone that's listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings to you. I decree blessings to you on Christmas. I decree blessings to you on your upcoming new year, planning, reevaluating, and seeking God in his direction for a new future, for a new year. And certainly he will give that. And we thank God that we have been on the air, praise the Lord, every Saturday at 9 a.m., praise God, consistently. And on the 25th, we are closing down only in observance of Jesus Christ being the reason for the season. So certainly those of you that can reconnect to this blog, you can do so at http://tobtr.com/s/12038032, and that will connect you to this direct lesson. Praise God. Let's get started, shall we? Hallelujah. How many need a word out there? How many need somebody to tell them a word that will speak to that situation? And suddenly we are deep in our Christmas celebration. We are waiting expectantly for our Savior to arrive. We are gathering our gifts. We are giving lots of kindness to strangers. This is the time when we are preparing our hearts to behold our Savior, the prophesied Messiah. It is a time of reflection and for teaching our children about Jesus' virgin birth, his life, his death, and resurrection. This is the season for giving, opening up our hearts to help those that are less fortunate. We are in about the middle of Advent season, and certainly we talked about Advent season on last week. We are waiting. It is the time of Jesus' birth. It is a four-week period, and it ends on the day that we observe the fact that Jesus came in the form of a baby, both human and supernatural, born of a virgin, yet impregnant by the Holy Spirit, thus man and God. Praise God. And we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. We know that this word has come alive in the form of Jesus. The word will captivate your mind. It will give you illumination in your heart. It will lift you up in a greater level to really begin to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We're going to take you on a journey of peace, praise God, hope, praise God, and closer to Jesus Christ as we prepare for as we are in this winter season. We are exploring on this morning, praise God, on this month, we are letting go. And the theme of this month has been no stress. The joy of the season is here, and the joy of the season has arrived. Although Advent means that we're waiting for the second coming. But y'all, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ every day. And this is just the time when the world celebrates Jesus Christ. But we know that he is the reason for the season. We know that we have joy abundantly because Christ came. And so this second Saturday in the month of December, y'all, we are... The theme is Jonathan's Son, A Christmas Carol. Let's get into it. 2 Samuel, if you got your Bibles, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to read 1 through the 12th verse. Praise God, and it reads as following. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Verse 3, and the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I must show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said upon the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, thank you, Lord, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto him, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thy kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continuously. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou showest look? Thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I." Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given up unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to his house. Thus, therefore, and thy son and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in fruits that the master's son may have food to eat. But for Mephibosheth, thy servant's son, shall eat bread also at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Yeah, he was rich. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth has a young son, which name as Machiah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth." Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the title. Jonathan's Son, A Christmas Carol. I want to talk about the Christmas Carol. And, of course, Charles Dickens wrote this Christmas Carol, the novel Christmas Carol, in December of 1843. And everybody knows what and who A Christmas Carol is. Basically, we understand it every year around this time. It is played over and over again. Of course, no one book or stories by Dickens and or any others except the Bible actually has been more enjoyed than this television program, this book called The Christmas Carol. And I remember as a young child when we look at Channel 9, and Channel 9 used to have a host, and they would pull the books out of the bookshelf, and they were read books, and it would be stories of history, stories that have been written before my time. So this particular movie has been adapted in the forms of theater, art, radio, film, TV, and even comics. And even Disney actually has a new version with a young girl being visited, and of course she repeating over and over again Christmas. But A Christmas Carol is a timeless transition, hides the fact that it was a very difficult time when Dickens wrote this particular book. It was meant to be a pamphlet, but it became further than just a little pamphlet. But it was to appeal to the people of England on behalf of the poor man's child. So there's some things in this Dickens or this Carol that really showed some political emphasis. Dickens set out to write the pamphlet book, in the spring of 1843, having just read a report about child labor laws in the United Kingdom. So there was a lot going on politically. There were children that were being abused. There were brutality that the children were facing. And as a result, you had a revolution change in the British society. So this theme of the Christmas Carol was definitely there to promote some things that was going on. It was intended to show the brutality and how the poor were being mistreated And how the poor were not just what they believed to be lazy and immoral, but they had problems. So this story, or the Christmas Carol we know today, emphasizes or it recounts Ebenezer Scrooge, who is the elderly person who is visited by three or four ghosts, actually, and his business partner, which he went into business with, is the first ghost that visited him, and three other ghosts will visit him, the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. And yet, we know Ebenezer is that individual that is rich, and yet he is got a lot of money, but he is making those that work for him suffer. And certainly we can see by his employee, as we will call him, you know, if you see the old one or the various versions, you know, his clerk is in there in the office and it's very cold and Scrooge don't want to provide any heat. So where's the Christmas Carol today? Although its characters may be Victorian, the story highlights the importance of being kind, the importance of being compassionate, the importance of being generous to others. And these traits are countless. These traits not only should be practiced during Christmas, but even after Christmas. A Christmas Carol is associated with Christians during the winter holiday season, for it contains references to Christ, who made the lame beggar walk and the blind man see, Jesus. And so at the end of the story, we are both lame and blind, touched by the spirit of Christmas. Nevertheless, it is a theme. The themes are not exclusively to Christianity, but it is an inspired tradition. For decades, books and Christmas books and celebrations, and it appeals to everybody, not only those of us that are Christians. Well, here we are. We are here with David. We are here with the Bible's version of a Christmas Carol. David was, without a doubt, Israel's most legendary and beloved king. He is described by biblical historians as a man after God's own heart, meaning that despite any human weaknesses, David had a deep reverence and humility for God. And certainly we can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. He rose to prominence in Israel after the death of Saul's son, Jonathan. And, of course, they were fighting the Philistines at Mount Gilboa in 1 Samuel 31, verses 1 through 4. After being wounded in that same battle, Saul committed suicide rather than be captured and tortured by the Philistines. After the death of Saul, David and his men went to Hebron. Thank you, Lord. Well, he was appointed king over Judah. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And you can read those. If there's any reference to scriptures, certainly you can text me and I will give you the reference to these scriptures. Now, during this time, the same time, Abner, who has served as the commander of Saul's army, had made Ishbosheth, Saul's son, king. So Saul had another son that was made king, and Saul's son, the king over the land of Gilda, the Asherite, Zerahel, Ephraim, and Benjamin, and over all Israel. And you certainly, the second chapter have that information. For nearly 2.5 years, there was civil war raging between the house of Saul and the house of David. So there was a fight going on, and this fight lasted for about 2.5 years. And after they couldn't prevail over David, after the Lord kept blessing him, then the other 10 tribes said, look, you know what? We want to make a covenant between David and the other 10 tribes. And they made that covenant. So in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, King David becomes the king over all Israel, over all the tribes, over all the 12 tribes, which was something that was done that Saul himself could not complete. So after the death, after civil unrest, after one of Saul's youngest son decides that he will be king over the 10 tribes, there were wars going on, and they could not get it together. So in essence, after Saul's youngest child was killed, then they made a covenant with David. And that covenant with David was that David would become the king over all of Israel. And certainly we find that in 2 Samuel. And we know after reading the book and reading the word that Saul reigned in Hebron for 7.5 years prior to becoming king over all Israel. Now, David did some strategic things after he became king over all the 12 tribes. First of all, he conquered all the strongholds, especially the Jebusites that had Jerusalem. He conquered that city and made Jerusalem the capital, which Jerusalem is now still the capital. And in essence, what that did, that brought the 10 tribes that was on one side and the 2 tribes that was on another side, it brought them together in one capital. It brought them together and it united them. And it became a boundary that would connect them both together. Not only did he connect it and take Jerusalem as the capital, but David brought the Ark of the Covenant back home to Jerusalem, and he made a tabernacle was erected. He made a tent or a tabernacle. He wasn't able to build a building, and because God said, there's too much blood on your hands, but thy son will build that building. And of course, we read the Bible, and we know that that did happen. But we're talking about David. We're talking about David, what he did. Now, here is a king that took over or was united king of the whole 12 tribes. And praise God, he galvanized and brought them together. And certainly he had the power. He had the throne, and certainly he was most successful, and he had delivered the ark back to the people. And we know the story where David danced out of his clothes. We know the story where David first tried to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, and certainly he didn't read what he was supposed to do, and somebody died.
But we read the story. The next time he did it, he put on his garment, his priestly garments, and he praised God like there were no tomorrow. We know the story. So after all of this has occurred, after all this has happened, now David says, can I go back? Can I find somebody in the house of Saul to bless them? Because David was remembering a promise that he had made to his friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we understand if we look at the history of the kings, of the eastern kings, it wasn't they did not have the responsibility or they did not have to promote somebody in the former king's family. Matter of fact, they made sure that the lineage would be cut off. But here we find that David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And it said, should David become king, he would never cut off his house. You should not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever. Not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth, 1 Samuel 20 and 15. Even after Jonathan had been deceased, he'd been dead for some years, y'all. He had been dead for a long time. But here, after David was able, after he had unified the 12 tribes, after he had brought the Ark of the Covenant, now God brings back to his remembrance the covenant that he had with Jonathan. Oh, praise the Lord. Here he goes to Ziba and inquires from Saul's servant, is there somebody from the house of Saul that I may show kindness? And here we begin to see a Christmas carol unfold. Here we begin to see that Ziba brings forth Jonathan's son. Now, Jonathan's son was lame, and he had been lame since he was 5 years old when a nurse dropped him as they were trying to escape the Philistines. But he was lame in both his feet, and he was living in Lodabar. Now, Lodabar is a town or a city that nothing grows. Nothing good comes out of Lodabar. Nothing good comes out of Lodabar. But this is a place of desolation. This is a place of loss. This is a place of inhumanity. This is a place where people that are suffering are living in. But here is God. Here is God revealing himself in a Christian, in a Christmas carol. We know that David is not Ebenezer Scrooge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But here this man of God, this king who has united the 12 tribes that don't have to show kindness, does so. So David displays three cultural norms that we take for granted in the Old Testament. First, he displayed a genuine spirit of hospitality, whereby strangers and travelers will be able to be welcome and refreshed. We as Christians have to become and have to know how to treat each other. Even the world, we have to show kindness to this dying world and not hate them because they're doing something that we don't like. But we have to show kindness and love to let them see that Christ loves them. And you know what? You may be suffering, but I hate of the answer. And my answer to you is Christ Jesus. Oh, as he is lifted up on this season time, we know that we're looking for a gift up under the Christmas tree, but that gift that I can offer you most of all is have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he will bless you. Oh, he will bless you immensely. Oh, if you're lost and dying, just know that God loves you. Oh, if you don't know who to turn to, I give you a solution. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the answer. Second, David showed the generosity to Mephibosheth by reassuring him that he should never have to want for food or protection. Here is a man that is lame. Oh, and in this time, the lame, the disformed, were not looked upon with respect. Oh, they were outcast. They were downtreated. Oh, if you had any imperfection, you could not even find work. You couldn't serve. So here's a man living in Lodabar, thinking that he was lost, thinking that there was no help. David looks back and he is pulls him forward. He pulls him up. He pulls him equal to his line and says, you are going to eat at my table. You are going to eat at my table. And Ziba, your father's servant or your grandfather's servant, is going to till the land. I'm going to give you some help. I know that you can't do it. I know that you are lame. I know that you don't have the capability of tilling your own land. So I am going to give you some help. And if we look at Ziba, Ziba was rich, y'all. Ziba was rich. He had servants and he had sons. So he had been successful with the amount of sons and the servants he had. And yet here he is. He is going to till the land for Mephibosheth. Thank you, Lord. Mephibosheth. And thirdly, David shows kindness to Mephibosheth, a generous expression of love and favor to the son of his friend. David's act of kindness was a true expression of his loyalty to Jonathan, even in death. The fruits of the Spirit talks about giving joy. We find over, if we look over in the New Testament, and we know that the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22-23 talks about, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We see that we're living in a time where people are suffering. We're living in a time where this pandemic has created so many mental health issues. We find that mental health issues are going on in our classroom. Kids are not able to get back to the swing of being in a classroom. They don't know whether or not to counsel. They don't know. People don't know whether or not to wear a mask or to wear a mask. People don't understand or don't know whether to get vaccinated. We see that there is always a variants of this coronavirus that's popping up. We see now that they say that the Omicron variant is not as deadly as the other others, the Delta and even coronavirus, but it is more contagious, and they're still studying it, and people don't know whether to mask up or not, or whether to vaccinate up or not. But we're living in a crucial time. We're living in a crucial time where Jesus is the reason for this season. Jesus is the answer for all our needs. But we have to be able to access Jesus. We have to be able to understand how to access the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we call on the name of Jesus, he is faithful and just to answer. So even with the symbolism that we have with the Christmas carol, we know that the ghost of Christmas past is, with his glowing head, symbolizes the mind, represents memory, and the ghost of Christmas present represents generosity, empathy, and the Christmas spirit. But, you know, Holy Spirit just said, the Christian spirit. And certainly we are to operate in the Christian spirit. But Christ is the reason for the season. And as Christ is the reason for the season, we understand that we are to operate in the Christian spirit. We are to show kindness. We are to give. We are to give because we understand that it is in giving that we are blessed. God is not going to allow us to do more for him than he will for us. So if we give of ourselves, if we give of our hearts, then God will certainly bless us. As we see David was a God, is a man after God's own heart, let us practice that mentality. Let us practice being a Christian, a person of God's own heart. Let us operate in this season of Christ. Let us operate in his love. Let us operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Let us operate in giving unto others, hallelujah, as God has given unto us. And thereby, God will continue to bless us as he continues does each and every day. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this season. I thank you, God, for this blog talk. I thank you, God, that you are providing a ram in the bush. I thank you, God, for each and every one that is listening. I pray, God, that you strengthen them on this season. I pray for my co-host, Father God. I pray for her, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her in her ministry. Strengthen her in what she desires to do for you. I pray, God, for each and every one that has listened to this blog talk in 2021. We pray for each and every family as we begin to close out this season, as we begin to close out this year. I pray for them, God. I pray, God, that you will anoint them the more. And if there's someone that will hear this blog, I pray, God, that you will forgive them of their sins if they're not saved, God. I pray, God, that they're accessed and they'll be willing, God, to accept you as their Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that you'll give them a mind to give up their sins. And I pray, God, that you'll draw them, God. We bind the spirit of suicide. We bind that spirit, God. Those that are struggling in their mind. Hallelujah. We pray for them. We pray, God, that you strengthen. We pray for their mental stability right now in the name of Jesus. God, you strengthen their hearts, God. Give them to understand that you're able, God, that there's nothing too hard for you. You are there and you will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they can ask or think according to the power that worketh in them. And I pray, God, that the power work in them. I pray, God, that you strengthen right now. I pray, God, that you anoint the more. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one that has tuned in for this blog on this morning. Again, our co-host will close us out for the year. It has been an exciting year. I want to thank each and every one of you that have been a part. I want to thank each and every one of you that has donated to this ministry. I want to thank each and every one of you that continues to listen to each and every blog because you make us successful. Well, God helps us to. God is the reason for this blog, but certainly your support helps us to do what God has called us to do, and we cannot do it without you, and therefore I want to thank you because on next week, the last voice that you will hear on this blog is our co-host, and she will close us out for the year. But 2021, I am looking with expectations of the word that she will bring to you guys. It will be anointed. It will be power-packed, and it will move you forward in 2022. God bless. I see you in a new year. God willing, continue to be blessed. Continue to lift up Jesus and know that God has given you a new life, a new hope, and reassurance in knowing that he is the reason for the season. God bless you. Bye-bye.